welcome your ears to episode number 280 of the Triple Option with RBKD on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be, live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, how many games did the Sharps in Vegas have the Longhorns winning in 2021? Plus, one of the most forgettable legendary performances in sports history, college basketball schedule makers don't care about anyone, and the Fyre Festival has hit Major League Baseball. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Appreciate the intro as always, brother. Had some issues out here in the on the live stream on the Twitch. Are we good now? Can you see me? You can't see me?
No, they're not resolved.
Doing it. All right. So if you're out there in the Twitch stream universe and you're trying to watch us, be patient. You'll have my ugly mug and the rest of these ugly mugs up there as soon as we can resolve the issue.
You look great today.
We do?
You do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. You know what? I'm gonna take a damn compliment.
Thank
I'm not gonna
you.
Question
take
it.
Take it.
Women do it all the time. Women don't question compliments. Guys question compliments. If I told you look good in them jeans, you would feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
See, exactly. Yeah. A woman says, oh, girl, you look great in them jeans. She's right. Like, thank you, girl. I know. I lost like 3 pounds. Boom. Take the compliment.
I would look at the jeans and say, what did I miss? You're playing on something.
I agree. Oh, speaking of that, happy Pride Month to everybody out there. Speaking of looking good in those jeans, happy Pride Month. We don't celebrate in Austin officially until August randomly. Every other, most states celebrate it in June. We skip it ahead to August. I don't know why KUT actually revealed that. Strange.
How does that work?
Because we basically have enough of the LGBT community, built LGBTQ community here
plus
in Austin.
LGBTQ plus. Unbelievable. It's Pride Month,
here.
And this is the amount of respect we're getting from Rob Davis.
That we have so many in that community among us that we don't necessarily need the outside celebration. Like, Austin is its own kind of gay pride mecca and community. Yeah. LGBTQ. Plus community.
Cool.
Kind of some mouthful.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It's not a damn thing wrong. It's about pride. You should be happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cancel Jerry Seinfeld. Cancel him.
No.
I'm just
too late.
Joking.
He already made his money.
But the message was, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't look at it as something that should be stigmatized. No. Nothing wrong with that. It was a good message back in the day. Still is, by the way. So shout out. I don't know how we got there, but
we got there.
We got there.
Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
I'm doing great. I remembered a dream. I don't remember dreams really anymore. And I mean, not really. I'm glad I don't. I just get good sleep and wake up and whatever happened, it's over with. But yeah, vivid dream. And it was with Texas OU. It was at a Texas OU game. But
uh-oh.
Like most dreams, it was odd. It didn't make sense. And
who won?
didn't even find out that.
Oh!
So yeah.
So I said, it might have been a nightmare.
I was like, who won? It's 2000, is it?
Oh,
sorry about that,
wow.
Sorry about that.
That was a shot across the bow.
That was a nightmare.
And that was a nightmare. I tried to forget that one.
Nah.
You forget your dreams.
That was a shot at all of us.
That was a shot.
Not just a shot at Rod B. Like, every Texas fan felt that one.
Yeah, including me.
Though, for me, because what an embarrassing moment. Anyway, sorry.
So what happened in the dream? It was just the start of a Texas OU game, and then you woke up?
It was weird. I had a dog with me.
Ooh. Oh, what's the dog's name?
And I don't know. I mean,
Is it her?
It was
Connor
a female
Landry.
Dog. I know
I
that.
Love it. She was a bitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I love bitches.
But it was weird because it didn't have the Cotton Bowl feel. And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to work my way to this really good dinner that is adjacent to the stadium. So it had football and food for me, and I couldn't get to either. And so it did feel, I woke up and I thought, well, that sucked. I don't like dreams.
Yeah, that's not a cool dream.
Because even good dreams, you wake up and you feel bad because why? It didn't really happen.
Especially, well,
Especially dreams either way suck.
Especially if it had like Scarlett Johansson in it or something.
Right. Just give me the rim. Give me the good 8-9 hours. I'm good.
Mm. So you don't like bad dreams either? You don't like waking up from a bad dream? Like, oh, thank God it was just a dream. You don't like that feeling?
There was a little bit of that. I woke up and I was pissed and I thought, well, wait a minute. That didn't happen. But then I thought, I know, but it was still something good. Usually there's something good in front of you that doesn't happen. Sometimes it's just straight nightmare.
Mm.
But this would have been great. This would have been football and like this 5-star cuisine.
Yeah, food porn.
And I couldn't get to either.
Yeah.
It was like I was stuck in an airport.
Now that meant something. That's purgatory.
Yeah.
Stuck. Yeah.
But then I had the dog and I couldn't find the dog. And I was like, oh my God. Like, that's when it really turned. What the hell is going on?
You are a pet lover. The dog can symbolize your guide through the spirit world.
Could be.
Oh.
It's also kitten season. So I don't know if that's, you know,
just trying to interpret the dream.
TJ and Stewie and Cat Heaven trying to give me a signal like it's okay now. TJ wouldn't. TJ would be one of those that if I died, you know, like if you're a widower, then they're like, no, they wouldn't want me to get remarried. Right?
They want you to be miserable without them for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Miss me every day.
What you do?
Yeah.
There you go.
Unreal. I want what you guys are smoking.
Right.
In there.
What? Sorry, that's the worst intro two guys could ever give a co-host.
It was a bad intro.
Well, mine wasn't
bad.
Doing?
Shout out to Pride Month. Mine wasn't bad.
No, it was choppy.
It was ill-timed.
It was choppy, but it was
ill-timed.
Shout out to Pride. I'll be here as well. I'm BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Wednesday afternoon with us. We are having some technical difficulties on our Twitch stream right now.
I can see you.
At this point, we've got Rod B's face and we've got my face.
Oh, that's it?
But no KD.
Wow.
Perfect.
You can do whatever you want.
I've got enough screen time in my life.
That's true. You have gotten more than most of us combined.
I'm all good.
That's true.
We'll get this squared away during the break. So enjoy your like 10 minutes of not being on camera.
We can
KD.
Switch spots.
Can I apply makeup now?
Yeah, A-Rod's makeup.
Oh,
want to use his?
The chapstick makeup. Mm-hmm.
I think it's only $18 for one of those.
There are metros that are embarrassed by him.
The Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, Fairfield, coming to town to play baseball this weekend.
Yes.
Interesting.
There are blue hoes that are embarrassed.
Oh, well, good reference there.
Presbyterian.
Yes, we're talking about the mascot, the blue hoes, the pantyhose.
All right, guys, let's talk some Texas football. I don't know what's happening.
No.
Texas football has officially welcomed the newest wave of Longhorns to the 40 acres. The remaining signees from the 2021 recruiting class have made their way to Austin. And they are set to begin their college careers. So Texas had 10 players in for the spring, 10 early enrollees. But the remaining 12 signees that were a part of the class of 2021 are now here, plus some transfer additions as well. And summer conditioning workouts with strength and conditioning coach Tori Becton started earlier today. We are 94 days away from the season opening game against Louisiana. Rod B., of the guys who arrived on campus this week, and I'll give you some of the big names so you have this list at the top of mind.
I got my list.
Okay. Well, you don't need me then.
Mm-hmm. I do need here? You. I just don't need the list. I got my list.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Well, give me a
listeners
guy.
Listeners may need that. They may want to play
true.
It, play at
That's
home.
That's right. See, okay. This is why you guys are professionals and I'm just a jag. Come on. Go ahead.
The irony in that statement right there. The one professional athlete.
I know.
But you guys are the pros here.
There you go. So some of the big names that got to campus this week, you've got Jatavion Sanders, of course, the 1 5-star that Texas picked up in the class of 2021. Xavier Worthy, who was originally committed and signed to Michigan but was released from his NLI a couple of weeks ago, then committed to Texas. Ishmael Ibrahim, the 4-star corner from the Dallas area. Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Hallettsville, who we all saw put on a show in the state championship game at Jerry World earlier this year. And a couple of transfers, Ben Davis, Devin Richardson, and at some point, Ovia Gofu will be here as well. So those
he did graduate from Notre Dame.
Did graduate from
so
Notre
good
Dame,
to go.
Which is great news. He will be here at some point. I don't think he's here yet. Not quite sure what the holdup is yet. But those are some of the names, Rod, but obviously you've got a lot of guys to choose from. So of...
And transfers included in here, too. The transfer portal guys.
Of the guys who arrived on campus this week, which guy or a couple of guys do you think will make the biggest impact this year for the Longhorns?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, some of these are really obvious. They've already kind of made impacts, especially on the roster. And you're not talking about the guys who came in for the spring, right? We're talking about the guys who just got here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with, first guy I'll go with is Jatavion Sanders. I know you were probably clamoring for this before it became official that he was going to be on the offensive side of the ball and be a tight end. Tight end is a strange position on the 40 acres, right? It's become an endangered species for a while. Last tight end to have more than 30 receptions, you got to go all the way back to what, Jermichael Finley. I think Andrew Beck got close. I think Andrew Beck had like 28 or something like that. He was close.
He was close.
But he ended up being a first team all Big 12, fullback, H-back, whatever.
They'd split him out in five wide.
But speaking of that, you know, I would say if you go back to Dan, kind of what Dan Buckner was, remember he was that flex tight end in 2009, the role that really Greg Davis, I think he premiered it, if you will, versus Oklahoma in 2008, put Jordan Shipley there, right, that flex tight end role, made it really hard to match up with. He was playing kind of a flex tight end, and I believe that's how they envisioned using Malcolm Epps. Didn't work out that way, and he ended up getting 45 receptions that year. But that's a different story. So my point is, we haven't had a special talent at tight end. You're looking for a complete tight end. The problem is right now with Texas, they have, you know, Jared Wiley, who I think is probably the closest, but they love Cade Brewer and his leadership. But neither one of those guys are a complete tight end. Juan Davis, Gunnar Helm, Braden Liebrock. I think all those guys have certain qualities that set them apart, that make them special at tight end, but none of them, those guys complete. None of them are the five-tool tight end that gives you everything, and Jatavion Sanders is potentially that guy. I think he's got a higher NFL ceiling as that, you know, that outside linebacker, edge rusher, pass rusher, but in this offense, as BK's mentioned, he gives you a totally different dimension on that offense. There's a reason Sark has decided, no, he's going to start off on the offensive side of the ball. I think, number one, the young man wants to start there. I think he's made that publicly known. But, man, we just haven't had an impact all-around tight end like that in a while. And all respect to Andrew Beck. I think he was fantastic. That's why he's still in the league right now. So I ain't disrespecting Andrew Beck. But he was not a complete all-around tight end. Couldn't stretch the field. Wasn't a great route runner. But he was solid in a lot of areas. Actually, an elite blocker. So I'm really interested to see what Jatavion Sanders could bring in that role. I thought they would actually end up splitting time with him at that outside pass rusher and the tight end. That's not the case. And by the way, Sark has a history of that. Sark did it with Austin Seferian Jenkins when he was at Washington. Did it with John Ross, too, who played wide receiver and played cornerback, played nickelback for them for a while before he ended up focusing on wide receiver and ended up being drafted in the first round. But I digress. My point is, he has experimented with really elite athleticism and letting those guys play on both sides of the ball. He's not going to do that with Jatavion. I think he's just going to let him focus on offense. And I think to BK's, I think BK would agree that he has a really high ceiling at tight end and could take Texas offense to a different level than we've seen in a while.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I agree with everything you said. Texas has not had an impact player at tight end since Jermichael Finley. And yeah, that tight end room is filled with bodies, but I just don't think you have a game changer in that tight end room right now. I think even as a true freshman, without coming in early for spring, KD, Jatavion Sanders is your most lethal weapon at tight end right now.
Yeah, and that's why he's the guy. He's the answer and back up a lot of what Rod said there. Not all of it. Some of it was just trash and garbage. But a lot of that was
correct.
Can't
all be good.
A lot of that was right.
Garbage!
No, you were dead on. You know, Wiley has the most potential of the returning guys, but go back to the spring game where he gets blown up, and that's where he doesn't, you know, tight ends can really mess with you, and you can really play around with the defensive coordinator in terms of personnel and really not knowing what you're going to do, pass or run, or you flex a guy out like Rod's talking about when they can do both. And I don't think they have anyone that can do both. Cade can probably do the most of both, but I don't think he's spectacular or even great at any of those. Yeah. I think he's going to be really solid this year. And actually, him losing the weight and still being able to run block is a good sign. So Sanders is the answer. He could be special, and he's the type of guy, too, with Sark, he's going to be able to play him up. The guy maybe I'm most intrigued about who could come in because of the five-star pedigree and because it is one of the few schools that I will give you the benefit of the doubt that you didn't play a lot, especially if there's injuries involved, is Ben Davis, and because of that position. So Dele Adeaway comes back, but Ben Davis could be a guy like we saw with Ray Thornton this spring that really flashes, and all of a sudden he's playing a lot. And you look back, we look back in 7 months and go, well, Ben Davis may have been the most important guy.
There's got to be something there, right, with Ben Davis.
Yes.
I mean, he was ranked as the 10th overall prospect in the country in the class of 2016. It's clear that he's not that good. I don't care how many 5 stars Alabama brings in. If you're as good as a top 10 player in the country in any recruiting class, you're going to find a way to play. So Ben Davis isn't that player, and I don't think it's fair to expect him to be a 5-star caliber player when he gets to Texas. But, man, Rod, you don't get that billing unless you've got something there. And Pete Kwiatkowski has done far more with less.
Yeah.
Right? He has been able to maximize talents from defensive players who on paper weren't nearly as good as Ben Davis. So I tend to agree with KD. I think Ben Davis, we're not quite sure exactly how he fits in PK's defensive scheme, but there's some talent there with that guy, and if anyone's going to unravel it and get the most out of it, it's Pete Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, and of course, Jeff Choate, right? The linebacker's coach. The Choater.
The Choater.
The Choater.
you guys need to Choate up.
I will say, I think
that should be his message.
You guys need to Choate up.
You guys need to Choate up.
We're also having signs in the stands. The Choater. The Choater.
I see that t-shirt.
BK made a really good point, though. You know, where does he fit? I agree with you guys. I mean, his ceiling has got to be really high. He's got a lot of raw materials. Hasn't worked out for him for whatever reason. Maybe the light just hasn't gone off. You can't say he hasn't received great coaching because he went to Alabama. So it wasn't coaching that was necessarily a problem. So that's why I'm not super excited. I'm not ready to just jump on the bandwagon and
I'm
say,
intrigued.
Exactly. You made a good point. You're intrigued by it. I will say this. He did play. He was recruited as an inside linebacker, moved to outside linebacker his junior year at Bama. So he can play both where Pete Kwiatkowski decides to play him, I think is going to be really, really important.
Agreed.
And that's all about the evaluation when he first comes in. We don't know how he looks. He's like 6'4", what, 230, 240?
Oh, he's sitting big at the front of the bus when he gets off.
Yeah, he's got some size on him. So I do wonder in the Big 12, as an off-ball linebacker, if he's a little bulky. Can he run? It's all about how well he moves. And if he moves really well, maybe you can put him inside. But right now in the Big 12, usually, man, you can eat guys like that up in a pace and space spread-based, conference.
We've seen it. I mean, I always felt bad for Steve Edmonds. I'm like, come on, man. Is it Edmonds or Edmond? I'm getting like Mac now.
You're right.
That's Tony Jeffers.
I think it's one Edmonds.
It's Edmonds.
He's not like y'all's car dealership.
No, he's not.
Advertise
and that's a U, too, if you're looking for that. Rod, say, if you can move, if you're looking to move, Sam Dude is the guy you got to get in touch with. Barton Creek Lending Group, he's definitely the name to remember. And so if you're ready to refi your home, maybe you're not going to move or you are moving and you're buying a new one, Sam's a guy to talk to. Rates are still low. They're definitely creeping back up. So if you're above 4%, definitely give Sam a call. He'll help you out. He's Austin-based. Website's easy to remember. HomeLoadDude.com can do commercial stuff as well. If you were affected by the weather, insurance may not cover everything, so you can tap into the equity of your home and make up the difference. Sam can help you out with that. He's an incredibly smart guy, very friendly guy, and he'll get back with you right away and make sure that you are taken care of. It's not going to hurt anything, so just give him a call or really get online because the dude abides. It's homeloandude.com. It's Sam Dude, Barton Creek Lending Group.
I'll add one more name to this conversation, and we'll rehash this a little bit later in the show, talking about the summer enrollees who we think will make the biggest impact for the Longhorns this fall. What about Devin Richardson? Texas picked up a number of transfer linebackers this offseason, and it feels like Devin Richardson is being talked about the least. Guys, he is more experience actually playing games than any of the other linebackers that Texas brought in. Now, Ben Davis is coming from Bama. Ray Thornton's coming from LSU. Ovi Igofu's coming from Notre Dame. All blue blood programs. And Devin Richardson's coming from New Mexico State. So I get that. I get the buzz surrounding a guy from New Mexico State is not going to be as much as a guy coming from any of those other schools.
You don't think the competition was as tough as those other three schools?
Believe it or not, I don't. But Devin Richardson was a freshman All-American in 2019, and he didn't get to play much last year, which goes both ways, right? We don't have a ton of film on him in college because he only has one season and two games, but also he kind of got a year off last year, maybe a chance to get healthy and sort of recalibrate his body a little bit. I don't know. I think Devin Richardson can crack this linebacker rotation. Now, y'all talk about the importance of being able to play in space. That's kind of Devin Richardson's weakness. I don't think he's great in coverage. I don't think he's great with his lateral quickness. I think he's more of an in-the-box, downhill type of linebacker. But, man, I feel like there is a spot for a guy like that on this team. And We've seen it, Rod, from Devin Richardson more than we've seen it from any of the other linebackers coming to campus.
That's a good point. Yeah, I would agree. That's a kind of a one of those dark horses that could end up playing. We don't know who's going to be that linebacker, the inside off-ball linebacker opposite DeMarvio and Overshown. And as for the, you know, the two outside pass rushers, it looks like Ray Thornton has solidified one of those spots, if I was projecting right now and predicting. But I think that other spot probably is wide open too. And then I wonder if they'll be confident enough in one player to let them, you know, just solidify that role, or if week to week, based on the matchup, based on the evaluation of a player and their skill set, will you decide, nah, you know what, we're going to play this player versus K-State because they present a different offense.
Good point.
Versus Iowa State, who's going to put up three tight ends and 13 personnel.
And Coach K does that.
Exactly. Matchup-based, you know, personnel, matchup-based game plans. So I wonder, yeah, in certain situations, I may want that old school, big, you know, kind of Big Ten inside linebacker that can play downhill certain situations. And then maybe, yeah, when I'm going up against Lincoln Riley, I need somebody that can just straight up run because he's going to spread me out more about pace and space. So the Big 12 with all the hybrid spread offenses, man, I really think Pete Kwiatkowski ended up using a lot of diverse personnel just to, based on the matchups, because so many different types of offenses, KD.
Yeah, it's an excellent point, and it really fits. I think that'll be a little bit of a transition or maybe assimilation to Kwiatkowski and how he runs stuff, because we've all watched him at Washington. I had a Washington crush for a little while there, and week in, week out, I would think, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't play last week.
It's a great point. Yeah.
Well, the matchup calls for it.
Yep. Different personnel groupings, too.
Does he have enough bodies to do that?
Yep. I agree. 94. I think he does.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 94 days away from Texas taking on Louisiana. We'll get back into that conversation a little bit later. But the off-season strength and conditioning program has officially begun down on the 40 acres. The summer enrollees are here for the class of 2021. You also have some transfers arriving to campus this week as well. And it's all systems go down on the 40. It's all systems go on a hump day edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I am BK Brad Kellner. When we return, what a night of NBA playoff basketball. One of the best playoff performances we've ever had. And unfortunately, nobody's going to remember it. Plus, has LeBron James given up? It's next.
When they asked Damian Lillard after the game about his 55-point 10-assist game, first one in NBA playoff history, also the first 50-plus point game, 10-3-pointer 10-assist game in the history of the NBA regular season or playoffs, he said it didn't matter, we lost.
Man.
Love that dude, man. Didn't matter. We lost.
That's any era type attitude.
That is. He's one of those
and
guys.
And he kind
of
is one of those guys.
Great point. Great point. Yep. 147 to 140. The Denver Nuggets get the win. Denver Nuggets now up 3-2 in that series. Even Nikola Jokic said, I was just glad I was there to witness it. It was one of those moments where you did get the feeling when you were watching it, like, oh, this is going to be historic. This is going to be iconic. He was unconscious, but we've seen this before from Damian Lillard, right? It'd be different if we hadn't seen this before. He has the ability to go Category 5 supernova status on you, where he becomes like, I don't know, just high-level unconscious X-Man, and his ability is that he can shoot from anywhere on the floor, and defense doesn't matter in that moment. We used to play NBA Jam back in the day.
He's hot.
You ever played NBA Jam?
He's on fire.
Yeah, the guy would get on fire, and then you could make anything once you're on fire.
Three quarters of court.
That's Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. He was on fire for that. And then he just didn't get enough help, guys. I'll give this stat, and we can break it down a little bit more. But at the end of regulation, at that the point where C.J. McCollum made that three-pointer, was that 13.7 seconds left or whatever it was? From that point on, Damian Lillard was 7 of 9 going to the two overtimes. He was 7 of 9. The rest of the Blazers were 1 and 14. That's it. That's the game in a nutshell.
He got no help. I mean, as good as he was last night, as good as individuals have been over the course of time in this sport, it's a team sport. You can't win with just one guy.
It's the beauty of the sport.
That was the best single-game playoff performance I've ever seen in my entire life.
Fair. I was not prisoner of the moment.
I wasn't alive for Jordan's 63-point game in 86, but you compare the box scores, you look at the stat lines between these two games, and you could argue what Damian Lillard did last night was more impressive. By the way, Jordan lost his game, too.
Yeah.
This goes to show you, like, one man can't beat anybody, especially this time of year, but that was spectacular, man. I mean, I had no rooting interest in this series, but I found myself rooting for the Blazers last night. I wanted them to win this game because when you lose a game like this, the performance kind of gets forgotten a little bit. We're going to talk about this for the next few days and weeks, but if the Nuggets ultimately close out the series against Portland, this is not going to be one of those legendary postseason performances that everybody talks about forever. But, man, I will never forget it. That was spectacular. Everything he was throwing up was seemingly going down. And it was just a joy to watch last night.
Yeah, the skill level, the shooting especially with some of these guys is just stuff we haven't seen before. And he's on that list. I mean, Steph would be at the top, but Dame is right up there. And I think it's going to add to the narrative if this continues for his career, BK, that, yeah, we will remember. We'll just remember that he had all these performances in series losses, and it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
And that he did seem like an old school guy the same night when, my opinion, the second best basketball player ever, and certainly GOAT worthy to talk about, leaves a court with 5 minutes to go.
But the ones that, the moments that he had, and he obviously didn't have these 55-point games, but remember the clutch mode performances, the game-winning buzzer beaters that he did have in the playoffs, 2014, one versus the Rockets, I remember it well. Then the other one in 2019 versus OKC, you know, over an outstretched hand of Paul George. You remember those? That's what I'm saying.
We're going to remember it.
No, I know. Yeah. Exactly. I say every time he has one of these types of performances, regular season or playoffs, it just makes you remember, like, damn, he's done this before. This is not some outlier. It's not some blip.
No. This dude is who he is.
This is who he is, but it is unfortunate that, like he says, ends up being a loss.
I mean, we're going to remember those other two shots that you just talked about more than this game.
Yeah, and of course. Yeah.
Because those were series clinchers, and those came in wins, and this one came in a loss. But, man, just the shots that he hit at the end of regulation and at the end of overtime were just unbelievable. He went on a personal 9-0 run at the end of the first overtime. Like, it looked like the game was over. It looked like Denver had done enough to distance itself from Portland, and they were going to close out with the win. And then Dame Lillard just by himself, just three straight threes. I mean, he was unconscious last night. And once again, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. 12 of 17 from three-point land, guys. Like, usually when a guy goes for 50-plus, whether it's a regular season game or a playoff game, it means that they shot 30-plus times.
Yeah.
It means they got to the free throw line probably 20-plus times and cashed in on the freebies. Dame Lillard was 17 of 24 from the floor, 12 of 17 from deep. Incredibly efficient.
9 of 10 from the line.
9 of 10 from the line. I mean, everything that he was throwing up at the rim basically went in last night. just ridiculous. And somehow, some way, it wasn't enough. And what do we say about Mike Malone, the Nuggets head coach? How dumb is that guy?
Yeah.
Like, they won that game last night, and I think he should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Malone last night showed me that he can't win an NBA Finals. He's never going to be a good enough coach to win an NBA championship. And you might say that's an overreaction. It's just one game, and they won the game. What are you talking about, BK? The fact that on either of those two shot attempts, considering how hot Damian Lillard was all night last night, the fact that on neither of those shot attempts at the end of regulation or at the end of overtime, they didn't foul or even double-team Damian Lillard. They didn't trap him and make him pass the ball and make somebody else beat you. The fact that he had two chances to either foul up three or force the ball out of Dame's hands, and he didn't do it, he let that guy get off those final shots, that is a fireable offense to me right there. Man, if I'm a Nuggets fan, if it's sports radio in Denver today, I don't care that my team won. I am blasting the head coach because those are inexcusably bad decisions, and they should have. If anybody else on Portland was worth a damn last night, they would have cost the Nuggets the game.
Agreed. Yeah, no, it made no sense. I could hear Dick Vitale screaming watching it somewhere that you got a foul there. Or like you said, at least double trap. Get the ball out of his hands. When you're that hot, and as you pointed out, that efficient. So it's not like he was just a volume scorer.
Yeah.
I mean, he was putting up a lot. There was a lot of volume there, but it was efficient as hell. You couldn't have him beat you, and he almost did.
Yeah, and even outside of him being hot, I think what was more important was that everybody else was cold.
Yeah.
So force somebody else to beat you because none of those guys could hit a shot.
I'll let Covington hoist one up.
Let somebody else. And that's what happened, right? In the end, it was a turnover by somebody else. Ended the game.
Yeah, you felt bad for Dame Lillard, right? 55 points. Everybody was focused on him. So he did the right thing in the second overtime, right? He was trying to set his teammates up, and he got them with good looks, but nobody could make anything. And then C.J. McCollum just decided to step out of bounds. He forgot where he was. It's like all of Dame Lillard's teammates were also in awe by his performance. And they didn't want to play. They just wanted to watch him shoot more and make more crazy-ass shots.
Yep.
That's what it looked like. Like, everybody else completely checked out of the game because Dame Lillard was doing what he was doing yesterday.
I saw that with 23 at times, watching them as much as I did. Where, you know, they're great teams. They stopped watching and started playing with them. And it felt like that last night. You know, and in this world of superstars joining together, I'm waiting for that to happen with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least to get some help.
I mean, in the world of also being prisoners of the moment, like if Portland loses this series, I wouldn't be surprised if they get rid of C.J. McCollum and say, like, this guy can't be our number two.
Yep.
Just because of his lack of clutchness in last night's game. Like, you got to try something new. If you've got that guy on your team and you can't get out of the first round, you got to switch something up. Besides Dame time.
But. And Dame seems pretty loyal, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He seems like a loyal guy in terms of the he doesn't want to leave just because they can't figure it out. And he knows he's got a ton of talent.
He's already signed one long-term deal to stay in Portland. I think he still has two or three.
He's got a few years left
on
it,
his
yeah.
contract.
Because nobody's talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, people would be talking about it a ton if he had a chance to opt out at the end of this year. But he's locked into Portland for the long haul. So what a game last night. Give Denver credit. They overcame Dame's historic performance. They also overcame their coach being a dumbass. And they found a way to win. They take a 3-2 series lead in what has been a spectacular first-round series. What about the series you alluded to, KD? Game 5 last night, L.A. and Phoenix. Well, an absolute beatdown. This game was over by halftime. The Suns were up 30 at the break. The Lakers only scored 10 points in the second quarter. And the Suns go on to blow out the defending champion Lakers by 30 in Game 5. No AD, no chance for the Lakers, and KD, LeBron, and company are on the brink.
Yeah, they are, and we talked about it yesterday. Is AD going to play? I turned this thing off a couple minutes ago in the third quarter. I mean, I've watched enough basketball to know that can be dangerous, especially current-day NBA, and I thought this thing's over with. Now, found out a little bit later about LeBron leaving with 5 minutes ago. We can talk about that. But I got to laugh at Charles Barkley. The whole, did you guys hear what he called Anthony Davis?
It's great. It's awesome.
Street clothes.
Yeah.
And he had to explain it. And he's like, well, because he's always in street
clothes.
That could be a lot of guys right now, but that was a direct shot. And we know, right? I mean, that this series was going to be about Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Now, LeBron actually didn't give them probably. He said, look, I'm going to put this team on my shoulders. He is unreal. And usually whenever he's got to put teams on his shoulders.
Yeah.
We've seen him do that before, and I don't know if he's just getting older. It's the matchup. But Phoenix did whatever they want, and with no AD, this wasn't close.
Yeah, LeBron, the excuse given, because Frank Vogel did say it after the game, and the broadcaster mentioned it during the game right before LeBron James left the floor with a little under 6 minutes left. He did say he went to go get treatment on his ankle.
Yes.
Because there was no sense in him watching that Old Testament-style beatdown when they were already down by, I don't know, 20-something points at the time. If he's going to be sitting around, might as well be sitting around. He can watch it from the locker room while he gets treatment.
What's your take on that as a pro athlete? Because that sounds like an excuse.
It does sound like an excuse.
Like, is that time going to make that much of a difference?
No, but that's their excuse.
Okay.
I just think LeBron James was done witnessing that Old Testament-style butt whipping. And he thought that not his players, his teammates didn't quit on him, but, man, they just weren't good enough.
No, they were terrible.
Portland's other four looked like they were chipping in.
Two of the starters didn't even score points.
Yeah.
They had, I mean,
Morris had four.
11 points combined with the other four starters other than LeBron. Of course, he had his, 24 points and 7 assists. There's just not enough without AD. Even if AD's 70% or whatever, He's got to play for them to even have a shot. There's no way LeBron can put the team on his shoulders and go win. We just talked about Dame Lillard putting up 55 and 10 and still losing by 7. I mean, it's just you can't do it. Not at this point in the playoffs.
BK, you're our basketball aficionado. Is this over with?
It's done.
Done.
I thought you were going to say
yeah.
That.
I mean, wow. Anthony Davis, even if he does play in Game 6, he's not going to be close to Anthony Davis. So the Lakers have two players. They've got two guys, right? They've got the best two players in the series, but if you were to rank the rosters, if you were to rank every individual on both rosters in the series, the Lakers have 1 and 2. The Suns probably have like 3 through 9. And if you take one of those top two out for the Lakers, then you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just don't think AD is going to be healthy enough to boost the Lakers in this series.
Now, Paul could be a problem for them down the road, obviously. Chris Paul.
Oh, for the Suns?
Yeah.
In terms of getting hurt?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he re-aggravated that thing again.
Uh-huh. It looked like he was crying late in the game last night.
He said it was one of those, he's like, oh, crap, what the hell is going on?
You thought LeBron was the best actor in the NBA. You thought wrong.
No, LeBron is still the best actor.
Oh, Chris Paul's got the State Farm stuff for a reason.
That's
okay.
True.
By the way, I want to play this since y'all brought it up.
But that's President Davis, I told you, the Lakers can't win this series. Forget about the championship. They can't win this series without street clothes.
Draymond.
Not even. You want to explain that?
I call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
That's pretty good right there.
That is pretty
Charles
good.
Is the best.
He really is.
Street clothes.
So a fun night of NBA playoff basketball. By the way, the Nets moving on. They defeat the Boston Celtics in 5 games. So Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving on to round 2 to take on the Bucks. What
big
a series
news
that's going to be.
With the Celtics right now.
Yeah.
With Brad Stevens now taking over the GM role and Danny Ainge deciding to move on. Or The Danny Ainge and his Celtics deciding to part ways. I don't know which one instigated that move, but
Danny needs to go retire on a beach somewhere.
No, Danny wants to go to another organization.
I know, but I'm saying it's been long. I mean, go be Wags right now.
go
live it up.
I want to be Wags right now.
I want to be Wags
on the beach, kicking it. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'm regretting what I did at the beach. I don't think I put enough in.
You didn't party enough, man.
No.
If you don't know what we're talking about, I'm going to cut the audio from a tweet Wags sent out within the last couple of hours. He's down on Padre right now, just partying it up. And
good for him. His wife, they get away from the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they are enjoying themselves.
They are.
At least Wags is enjoying himself.
Wags deserves it, man.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
No doubt about that. So there's some NBA talk. We'll get back into the association a little bit later. We'll preview Mavs Clippers Game 5, which, of course, comes up tonight. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Let's get back to some Texas Longhorn football. 94 days away from the season opener. Who are the best Longhorns to ever don the number 94? We'll tell you next.
What kind of work do you do?
It's a hip-hop Wednesday, way back rap Wednesday here on the Horn. This is Triple Option. We're live, we're local, we're digital. Get the Horn app. It'll make your life easier. You can listen anywhere. I've got people that will tweet or friends that have been listening all over the world.
Nice.
In some weird spots. It's always cool to find out. It's like, whoa, you were where and listening to the show? You need to still listen to the show, but make sure you go enjoy your vacation. Now, one of our brothers, someone who we absolutely love. This guy is, he's just one of the best. He's just a great person. You can follow him on Twitter. It's Adam Wagner, at Not The Fake Wags. And he and his wife, how many kids they have? Two kids?
One kid.
Okay.
It's a dog that he has.
That's right.
He loves like a kid.
It feels like two kids. But yeah, they're taking a little vacation, going down to South Padre. And I'm the South Padre guy. He was hitting me up on things to do, and I don't think you needed to hit me up. I think Wags is having a good enough time. So if you check him out on Twitter, you can see what we're talking about. But Wags enjoying the day. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, always in South Padre. Here's the audio from Wags' latest post.
You can go get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.
That's it.
Sorry, Ms. Jackson.
Drop the mic.
So that's
the video's great too. The eyes.
Yeah, I mean he somehow looks drunker than he sounds, and he sounds absolutely blitzed.
Was that the music that was playing too?
It was.
Nice shout out to
he's
Outkast.
On the beach.
I like
there's
that.
No driving. You're at a beach bar. All he's got to be able to do is walk back up to his condo. But I hope he can do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure he can.
I'm not sure he can either.
You can go get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.
Dude, I've never enjoyed anything as much as Wags is enjoying this vacation right now.
It's needed, as Rod said.
Now, the man works
on the caption, he said, reminiscing midday with BK. With Trey and BK, so he.
I wish you would have left Trey out.
Yeah,
that would have been
put T in there.
Okay, that's about all.
He had
deserves.
To hashtag it. He forgot the REY, but yeah. So he was obviously reminiscing. He was thinking about you. So when he gets really drunk, he thinks about you, BK.
There you go. That's love.
That is love.
That's terrifying, love, is what that is. I don't want a grown ass man thinking about me when he gets drunk.
You're gonna get a text later, I bet.
You are gonna get a text.
Well, he also texted me that video. As if I hadn't seen it yet on Twitter. Like, I had already responded to the tweet on Twitter, which is where you respond to most tweets, and then he decided to text me the video as if I hadn't seen it yet.
Oh, man.
He's having a good time, man.
Yeah, he should, too.
Good for him.
That's a good time to do it. We're going to be having a good time, especially in 94 days. 94 days away from the Texas football opener. 94, you know, heck, we even hit 95, 96, are obviously some really good players. There's been good players, Rod, that have wore 94, but doesn't stand out like some of the other numbers. So what that tells us is, if you're coming to campus and you always talk about this and you want to be remembered, pick a number that you got a chance to be the best ever.
Hey, greatest number 21 in Texas football history. For now.
For now.
For now.
For now.
And I hope it ends. So.
Okay.
Troy O'Meary.
Yeah.
Clock.
Now, he'll change his number by the time he gets good enough to be better than you.
It seems cursed anyway, so I would advise.
But he may be wearing that because of Calvin Johnson. So there could be some 21s out there.
That's true.
That's why they're wearing it.
But that ain't the greatest number 21 at Texas, and that's what I'm saying.
No, you are.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it seems cursed lately. Because Jordan Whittington had it for a while. I was excited about that.
I mean, Chris Whaley went to a Pro Bowl and came as 21 and then changed. But I'm not going to. I don't want to.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
In any part
I don't
here.
Think the football guys want there to be another number 21 that's greater than me. They would like this to go down, you know, in perpetuity. Forever.
You should be punished for taking out white guys.
What do you mean? Oh, for the Jason Sehore thing?
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I feel bad about it. I'm trying to bring back the white cornerback. I've been doing my best. I'm right here. I'm studying Westlake and Lake Travis. Good, two good spots as any.
Michael Taft's going to be on campus.
Find one of them. But number 94, you got Todd Hunt was the number 94.
How's his brother Mike doing?
Different.
Beat me to the punch.
Yeah, not that one.
Now, if we had Mike, that would automatically, if his name was Mike, he would automatically be the best 94 ever.
He could have played zero snaps in college.
Tony Brackens could have worn 94. I'm still going with Mike Hunt.
Gerald Wilbon, remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got some quality starts on. And Alex Norman. Saw my man CB had for us today.
Yeah.
I went and looked up 94s, and it's not a lot
Miguel
of well-known 94s. Miguel McKay is. Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Man, good memory.
No, my number memory
shout out
is,
to Miguel McKay.
Is dumb.
I got one more for you.
Give it up.
Chris McDaniel played in the 70s, defensive lineman.
Okay.
Good job.
He might be
the best.
The best.
Did he make all conference at least once?
I don't think he did.
Okay, well, then we don't know because I don't. You can't.
But did those guys?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
this is
usually
why I hate this segment. I feel like we end up ripping on guys.
We end up knocking all the guys who were 94.
Guys played quality snaps.
They did play quality snaps. So I'm saying, what? He might just go with your favorite 94 then. I'm going with Miguel McKay then, damn it.
I'm going with Mike Hunt.
Because I played with him.
I'm going with Mike Hunt.
It's not
it's
Mike.
Todd
it's
Hunt.
Todd.
It's Mike to me, damn it.
It's Todd Hunt.
Was that his middle name?
Yes.
Michael?
Todrick Michael Hunt.
Todrick?
Yes.
Todrick is a name?
Todrick McIntosh.
Todrick is
who was an all ACC player for Florida State in the early 90s.
I never heard the
and
name.
And guess what? Todrick McIntosh was at Florida State. Number 94.
Wow.
Did he go by Todrick?
He went by Todrick.
Okay, this guy sucks.
And is a Texas guy.
Oh, shoot.
Dallas guy.
I still hate him. I don't care. You can't go by Todrick.
Good friends
dude.
With Ben Rogers.
Good dude. Still hate him.
Are parents naming their kids Todrick? This is a thing? I mean, I'm 40 years old.
His parents
and
did.
I never know this was a thing. I was 40 years old by the time I figured out Todrick was an actual name for a person.
Really smart guy, really good player.
Todrick, like Roderick,
good
like
family.
My name except with a T at the beginning.
Yes, Todrick.
So we've got Todrick. Do we have Todd-a-thin coming next?
No, we don't.
Todd Tavius.
Exactly. Todrick, come on.
Todd Alexander.
Todd Devin.
Oh, my God. This is getting out of control.
Mix it with me.
Oh, man.
I don't like
was
that.
Was Todrick black or white?
He was black.
He was black?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he was an All-American, dude.
I said he played at Florida State in the early 90s.
That
is probably better.
I said
better.
He was a defensive lineman at Florida State in the early 90s, man.
You're joking him. Come on.
They had Darryl
Bush. I
love
that black guy is the only one who did get that one.
Hey, message to Jatavion Sanders, who's on campus right now. pick the number 94. You've got an easy chance to be the greatest 94 in UT history.
He's going to be a terrible tight end at 94.
I know.
He better pass rusher.
Yeah.
Tight end 94. No.
Okay, Arch Manning next year. We're number 94. We'll go QB with a 94.
He can pull it off.
Yeah. He'll make it look good. If he's good. If he's as good as advertised.
Nobody. You know what? He'll sell more jerseys than ever before if he's that good.
See ya, Tim Tebow.
I tell you what, if I'm one of these guys coming in and transferring in, I would look at that. If I've got a couple years left.
Like a Ben Davis or something?
Yeah, or Ovi. Just say, I'll go 94.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'll be the greatest 94 in Texas football history. All you got to do
is
be honorable mention on conference. You're good.
So I went and looked, guys, the best 94s in college football and NFL history, because I was thinking, like, do we just neglect the number 94?
I got one in the pros.
Or is that just a Texas thing? Best 94 I could think of is Charles Haley.
That's Charles Haley. Yeah. That's a good one.
Why are you throwing the pin at me?
Because I was excited.
Okay.
you robbed my glory there.
Five-time Super Bowl champ.
Niner and Cowboys.
A guy we can both agree on. Yep. And then college-wise, speaking of Cowboys, the great Randy White, or 94 in college.
Did he really?
At Maryland.
Okay.
Also, Tony Franklin, his Pitt days, 94.
Mm. Okay.
Those were off the top of my head. Of course, I remember those guys.
That's good. He's not even the best days. Tony Franklin.
That's good stuff.
No.
Kicker at A&M.
Oh, that's who you're thinking of? I was thinking
he and Erk Slaben were going back and forth with the longest field goals ever.
Erk Slaben.
Russell.
Who was a better Ponzi schemer?
Oh, Russell.
Nobody's better.
He's a better kicker too, right?
Russell?
Yeah. Erk Slaben. Yeah. Erk Slaben was a beast.
He made a 72-yarder.
But Franklin was an all-time kicker.
No, I know, but Erk Slaben was just
He was nuts.
Yes, on and off the field.
Yeah. That guy's a legend. We got to get him on this show. He's my favorite.
I know.
He's my favorite Longhorn of all time, dude.
He's out of jail now. I'm sure he's living somewhere.
I'm sure he's living somewhere, too.
And like since close to Central Texas, is what I was going to say.
This segment sponsored by the 40 Acres. We didn't really. we're honest. It's what we do.
Yeah, we are the home for Texas Longhorn athletes.
So anyway, in 94 days.
When would Erk Slaben get any love if we didn't bring him up at least once a football season?
Never.
Russell was saying we get no love.
Is that love?
Yeah, because these people mention you. People don't forget about you. We don't forget about Erk Slaben.
No.
He's like our unofficial mascot on the show.
And we bring up long field goals.
Yeah, every once in a while. Every once in a while. 94 days away from Texas.
Hey, it's
and
never too
Louisiana.
Late to turn it around. Maybe he's turned it around.
Maybe he's turned it around.
God willing.
I hope not, because then I wouldn't care about him.
I know.
So
then all of a sudden you wouldn't want the interview.
He's family. We want him to turn it around.
Right, exactly.
All right. Fine. It's the Triple Option with RBKD alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn. I am BK Brad Kellner. When we return, we go to Vegas. No, not literally. I wish. Almost sounded like Wags was in Vegas in that Twitter video he posted. But we go to Vegas for Big 12 over-under win totals for the 2021 season. Where do they have the Longhorns? What about Oklahoma? Some of the other top dogs in the Big 12 will give you those lists next.